Im Namen des Vaters, der Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Today's feast, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, marked her departure from this world into the next. From time immemorial, from the very beginning, the Church has always held that the Blessed Virgin, who was free from all sin, was free also from the pain of sin, which was death. Death in soul, through any sin whatsoever, any personal sin or original sin, and death in body, right? So she was free from that penalty. And so it was always held that when her time to leave this world came, she left with both body and soul together. And then in 1950, Pius XII declared that to be a dogma of the Church, infallible truth. And of that day, it was the day of greatest joy for the Blessed Virgin herself. The happiest day of her life was the day that she died. Because every other event in her life, every other joyous event, there was always some kind of future sorrow. But not today, not the day of the Assumption. Why is that? Think back to the Annunciation, when she was told she would be the mother of the Savior. And certainly that would have been a day of great joy, but also of sorrow, because she knew from the Scriptures that the Savior was destined to die. Likewise, the birth of Christ, beholding that little babe in the manger, filled with joy. But that sorrow of that future death she knew was coming. And even the resurrection of our Lord, a day of tremendous joy for the Blessed Virgin, was also tinged with sorrow. For he would no longer die, that was over and past. But she knew very soon he would ascend into heaven, and once more she would be deprived of his presence on earth. And so the Assumption, the day she entered heaven, was finally the day she could look forward to when there would be no more sorrow, no more goodbyes, but only eternal joy. And that is how we ourselves should approach death. Death is not an end. Death is a transition. Death is a passage from this life into another one. And what kind of life is that going to be? That is what we should fear, is how am I providing for what's on the end of that transition? These days especially, the world is in an absolute panic over death. Caused by a virus, mind you. Deaths from other causes are not important. It's only deaths from a virus. That's what we should be afraid of. If you're going to die from the virus, panic. If you're going to die from something else, meh, don't worry about it. So what is the Church? What is the Church's approach to this? This is an opportunity, finally, to teach the truth about death. What is the Catholic perspective towards death? Ought we to fear death above all things? No. From tradition, from the beginning, the most pious Catholics, the saints, always would say to their children, mothers would say to their children, I would rather see you dead than commit a mortal sin. Because we know, we have not just a body, but a soul. And the soul is more important than the body. So death in soul is worse than death in body. And death in soul is caused by mortal sin. Therefore, it is logically clear, fear spiritual death greater than physical death. Mortal sin is to be avoided and feared above all. This is what should be guiding our actions. Now, we hear, wash your hands, be safe, do this, don't do that, take these precautions, and so on and so forth. What should the Church be saying? We don't need more of the same from the Church. We already have been told how to take care of our bodies. The Church tells us how to take care of your souls. Okay, you've all been informed by the civil authorities, by those in command. You've already been told by your homosexual, lesbian governor and media and so on and so forth, these atheists and pagans. You've been told what to do to care for your body. And believe me, they know, because that's all they have. But here in the Church, we will tell you how to take care of your soul, because if there is a virus, and you might die from it. There's a 3% chance you might die if you're 80 years old and over. if your chance for death is higher, then this is how to prepare. Go to confession. Examine your conscience. Live a good life. Pray more. Greet the saints every day. Get to know who they are. Think about this. I've got some bad news for everybody. None of you are leaving this world alive, right? That doesn't happen, right? All of you are going to die. There's a 100% chance everybody in this room right now will die. Knowing that fact, how are we preparing for that certainty? What precautions are we taking? What are we doing in advance? Anybody who knows, like if you're told, okay, in 20 years, you're going to be taking a trip and you're going to move to Europe and that's it, it's over. You're moving to Europe in 20 years, that's it, get ready. Like, okay, I guess I should start learning some different languages, I suppose. But that's how we should be thinking. When we make the transition from this life to the next life, it's permanent, and what's going to be on the other side? If I take a trip, like I said, overseas, okay, I got to pack, I got to wear the right clothes, I should save up for the trip. Apply that analogy to death, to our transition to heaven. Okay, I got to save up money for my trip. How do I do that? Tithe. Everything you give away, you're preparing for your next life. How do you pack for that trip? Clothe yourself with virtues, modesty, prudence, wisdom, temperance, humility. That's the clothing you're going to wear in heaven, the splendor of those virtues. Are we taking those measures? Are we taking those precautions? Are we looking in advance? Anytime we think about death, that's what we should be thinking about. That's what the church should be telling us. Death is not something to be feared as much as something to be prepared for. Now, death. God has set the time of our death. And this is the thing. If we are foolish or imprudent, our death can be accelerated. Our death can be hastened. That's what's called an unprovided for death. God will not protect us from the effects of our own stupidity. If we are stupid, God knows. God knows exactly when we will die. He has a perfect time fixed for our death, and then there are variations. If we are utterly stupid, God will let us suffer those effects, like I said. People who die from overdose on drugs, recklessness, God will let people die from that. He didn't plan it, but he allows it. Likewise, God will hear our prayers. He may prolong our life, as in the book of Isaiah, chapter 38, when the prophet comes to the king and tells him he will die, and the king turns his head face towards the wall and with tears prays to the Lord God, and God sends the prophet back and says, the Lord has added 15 years to your life, to your piety and your goodness and so on. You're beseeching the Lord. So the Lord has that time fixed. Right? He knows what's going to happen, but we can, by our virtue or by our vice, hasten it or delay it, all within God's plan. So we ought not to be asking, oh, if I do this or don't do that, I'm going to die, because all of us are going to die. We should be saying, okay, the Lord God knows the time of my death, and if I am prudent, if I am wise, if I am pious, if I am humble, then that death will be the perfect one. So I don't need to worry about this could kill you, that could kill you. Okay, I know that the life is fraught with peril, but life is made to be lived well. Life is made to be lived with virtue. And if in order to avoid death I have to be unvirtuous, I'm not going to do it. If the ultimate evil in this life is death, then there is no morality. But that is not true. The ultimate evil is sin, not death, and sin is what to be feared above all else. And avoiding sin is the final question. If a soldier holds his life to be above everything else and he runs away in the face of battle, he's executed as a coward and a traitor. And yet we're being told now to run and hide and cower in fear because death is the worst thing and you should be afraid. And I would say, go over to Arlington Cemetery and have all those soldiers rise from their grave who died in battle to give us our freedoms and tell them to their face, you know, all those freedoms you died to give us, we're giving them back voluntarily because we're afraid to die. Thank you for dying, but I'm not going to do it. This is not Catholic to fear death. And the final word to today's gospel shows us what we should fear, whom we should fear. His mercy is from generation unto those who fear him, not death. God's mercy is upon those who fear him, those who fear to offend him, those who fear to turn away from him, those who fear to lose him. That is upon whom his mercy rests. His mercy is not from generation unto generation unto those who fear death and would do anything to escape it. Those are called fools. But rather we should be like the Blessed Virgin Mary, in that the cause of her joy today, the cause of her greatest joy, was made possible by her death. She looked forward to it. She couldn't wait for it. The time had finally come. Now I go to meet my son forever. What a joy. And I tell you, if death were manifested, the Blessed Virgin Mary would have kissed it. Thank you for ushering me in to meet my son, the doorkeeper. I've finally been separated. This world has been holding me down. I'm free. That is an attitude we can have if we put our heart where our treasure is. Where's our treasure? Pray the rosary, right? For in each rosary, 53 times we are praying for that very moment. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death, which should be the happiest hour of our life. We should not fear purgatory because we should be seeking not to have to go there. So let us pray for that. Let us pray for the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary to see properly, not to fear death as an end, but to view it as a transition to be prepared for, that our final end, heaven, might be a joyous one, a happy one, and what we truly look forward to and where we put our treasure. I invite all of you to stay afterwards, if you're able, to pray the 15-decade rosary after this Mass. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.